This morning we're coming to the end of a series of messages that we've been looking at this summer, and it's really kind of a bridge transition message, because we're going to be looking at one of the parables that Jesus taught, but in it we get this compelling, winsome, beautiful picture of the kingdom of God, a picture that really displays the wonder, the magnitude, the possibility that lies within something as small as a mustard seed. This morning we're going to be looking at two brief parables in the Gospel of Luke in which Jesus compares the kingdom of God to a mustard seed and a unit or yeast in a loaf of bread. So would you turn in your Bibles or turn on your Bibles and turn to the screens to my left and right and hear now God's word to us from Luke chapter 13. Starting at verse 18. And he said, therefore, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made their nests in its branches. And he said, to what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour until it was all leavened. Friends, this is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight this morning, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Lord, be our teacher here once again this morning, as we draw up near to you, draw down and draw us up to yourself. By your Holy Spirit, we pray, and we give thanks to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, I want to welcome you if you are a guest here with us this morning, and it's good that we're here in worship, not just because there's a great meal that's being prepared for us, not just because we can kind of even see the barbecue smoke echoing, wafting up through this room. Not just because we're going to be opening a 25-year-old time capsule, which is really exciting, after worship. By the way, that will take place right before we eat. So if you were a part of that Vacation Bible School that buried that time capsule 25 years ago, we're going to join out in between, on the breezeway in between the two buildings, right after worship, and we're going to open that up. It's good that we're here in worship because we believe that God has something unique and important to teach every one of us today. Something good that will lead to our growth. Something that will lead to us becoming more and more the people God intends us to be. Like I said, this morning's message will be kind of a transition in between a series that's concluding today, one that we've been looking at the kingdom of God, and one that will begin next week called God of Wonders, in which we will look together at the big stories of our faith. And we're actually going to be following the same series of stories that our children are going to be learning about in their godly play class. And so, families, you will have much to talk about at brunch after worship for the next 9 weeks or so. You can talk with one another about what you learned in worship each day. There's a philosopher by the name of Alistair MacIntyre who wrote a book called After Virtue, and in it he says, we cannot answer the question, what am I to do, until we answer the prior question of what story or stories do I find myself a part? I don't know if you saw the recent film Interstellar, Christopher Nolan's most recent film, one of my favorites. Many, many sleepless nights I find myself going back to Interstellar. I just love it. But in it, Matthew McConaughey's character, Cooper, is probed by the lingering question, what is our place in the cosmos? And when you start considering the possibilities of interstellar space travel and wormholes and black holes and Einstein's nagging theory of relativity, you can't help but face two daunting realities. Number one, the cosmos, the universe, is a very big place. And number two, I am very small. I am very minuscule in the grand scheme. But what the Bible tells us is that there is tremendous power in small things. Our lives and all of creation is not merely a result of time and chance, but what Scripture tells us, you and I, is that we are a part of a much larger narrative, a much larger story that began at creation and will reach its glorious conclusion in what the Apostle Paul calls the day of Christ. But for now, we, you and I, have an important place in this grand story. And this tells me a couple of things. One, that God loves little ones. God cherishes that which is small, and God fills the small things with great potential. Oh, goodness, Jim, just hang on to it for now. I'll get it afterwards. Okay, all right. Well, this is the second year in a row. Pastor usually doesn't get any ribs, so I'm going to come down and grab my plate. I promise I won't be eating them during the sermon, but I'm going to put them in a safe place up here. Where was I? I forgot. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get back to it. Okay. God loves the small ones. God loves the little ones. Which is why Jesus told this great parable, this parable that we're concluding with today. Jesus says, and he said, therefore, what is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? To what shall I compare it? Excuse me. How many of you would say that your life is relatively normal? No Nobel Prizes or Kennedy Center honors falling into your lap, or you're not beating back professional sports contracts or campaign donor checks. Pretty normal, right? I think we all lead a pretty normal life. How about this? How many of you have ever had that time in your life or have been faced with that situation where you felt insignificant, where you felt isolated, where you felt alone in the world? I'd guess that every single one of us has had those moments or those seasons in our lives where we felt very much alone. I know this because I had an experience of this myself. In college, for a period, I was surrounded by many thousands of students, and yet I felt utterly alone in the world. Jesus opens this important parable by asking this question: what is the kingdom of God like? To what shall we compare it? And those listening that day might have envisioned him describing some grand, magisterial kingdom description, something regal, something glamorous, something altogether breathtaking in its splendor. You see, that day, when a king or a leader wanted to demonstrate influence or power over his kingdom, he would put it on display for all the people to see, using great displays of opulence and riches and jaw-dropping power. These kinds of kingdom displays were meant to make the king's subjects feel very small, to ensure unquestioned loyalty and obedience to the king. Now, Jesus, on the other hand, takes this notion of the kingdom and he compares it thusly. It is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden, and it grew and became a tree. And then in the following parable, Jesus says, it is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour until it was leavened. Jesus uses these two examples of mustard and leaven to describe to his audience what the kingdom of God is like. The mustard seed is one of the smallest of all the seeds, and yeast in its singular form is almost indistinguishable. Yet within each one of them is immense potential. And I think there's two lessons that Jesus aims to teach us with these examples. And one has to do with size, and the other has to do with power. Within this little seed, in this little ingredient, yeast, exists tremendous power. You ever put too much leaven or put too much yeast in dough, or you let it go too long, it gets out of control, right? Jesus says it has the power to change the entire composition of that which is it is mixed into. There's great power in small things. Power in small things so much so that they can even topple mountains. I thought of this example of this. I wanted to give you an illustration. When I was younger, I was in Yosemite. And you'll see Yosemite on the screen up there. And I remember the park ranger calling our attention to the mountains, to El Capitan and to Half Dome. And he said, look up to those cliffs. Look up to those granite peaks. Those rocks are covered. They have lichen living on them and in them. And eventually, the lichen will find the cracks. They'll find the crevices deep in the rock, and they will penetrate through it. And one day, those little life forms will topple an entire mountain. Even though the mountains like Half Dome and El Capitan are immense and imposing, the one thing that they possess that lichen don't is that they are dead. They are not living. Hidden within the cracks of those great structures are little lichen that are alive. They are living. They have potential to grow and to spread and separate and compromise the strength of those rocks. And one day, they will be leveled. Life is a powerful thing. Jesus says that by simply inserting a little bit of life, a little bit of his power into his disciples, they were going to continue his mission. By giving the power of the Holy Spirit to 70 gathered at Pentecost, he would topple the entire Roman Empire. By planting churches throughout the Mediterranean that would stay and would take care of the sick and the dying while everyone else fled for their lives during the plague, they would change the culture. They would change the world. This little bit of yeast, this little bit of leaven mixed into the bread can change the entire form. Jesus gives us these images of mustard seed and leaven for an important reason. There is power in small things. There's might in the minuscule. When you are planted like that mustard seed, or when you are mixed in like the yeast into a new environment, you have the power to change it. The same goes for our church. If ever there was a parable that was in favor of investing in the life of Sunday school ministries, or in the life of the Access Youth Ministry, if ever there was a message that would encourage Sunday school teachers, it's this one. Our children, these little lives, are like that mustard seed. They're small. They seem sort of insignificant. But within each one of them is the potential to do immeasurably great things. Bob Bowman was a swimming instructor in Baltimore. When there was one day when a lanky little 11-year-old came into his pool and told Bob Bowman that he wanted to learn how to swim, or he wanted to be trained. Well, that little 11-year-old boy grew up, and he grew up to have a relatively successful career. His name was Michael Phelps. He's just the most decorated Olympic athlete of all time, not just swimming, but any sport. And you know who was with him? Every single medal, every single games, Athens, Beijing, Rio, there we go. There's another one in there, I think. Bob Bowman. His coach. This is a parable about investing in treasures that grow in young lives. Do you know someone or something that you can invest in? We have opportunities to get involved in shepherding and nurturing the lives of our young ones. And we need you. We need all of you. And I would also argue that you need this. You need them. This is an opportunity for you to not only cultivate life, but to be cultivated by these young lives. In helping to nurture them, you will be shaped. You will be changed. They will be the leaven that changes your composition. Sunday school teacher, youth leader, Kids Hope mentor, possibilities are out there. Here's why you need it. Because God's work in our lives grows when you give it time. Time is something that is on our side with this. In this parable, Jesus tells that time is on our side. Mustard seeds can grow to become big things over time. These parables are about gradual growth, gradual maturity, gradual sanctification. Jesus didn't tell us a parable about a magic bean that grew up overnight, but it's about a great mustard seed that grows over time. Jesus compares us. He warns us about investing in things that are that don't grow, things that are stagnant. Jesus says, don't lay up treasures in heaven for yourself, because all they are in the process of doing is decomposing. Rust and moth are in the process of destroying things that are stagnant. But things that grow will last. Finally, there's a characteristic of these two pictures, the leaven and the seed, that I think is immensely important for us to remember, because it's a metaphor for our church. Mustard seeds and leaven are small. They're minuscule in size, but eventually they spread. Eventually they grow. Have you ever seen a mustard tree? I just showed you one. They don't grow up tall like a sequoia or an oak tree. They grow low and ravenous. They grow close to the ground. They're close to the earth. They're close to the needs of the people. They grow out of control. Once they take root, almost instantaneously, they are growing. Roman historian by the name of Pliny the Elder. I like that name. Maybe I'll go by Cornell the Elder or Jonathan the Elder. In his Natural History, he writes this: mustard, with its pungent taste and fiery effect, is extremely beneficial for the health. It grows entirely wild, and though it is improved by being transplanted, but on the other hand, when it is sown, it is scarcely possible to get the place free of it, as the seed, when it falls, germinates at once. The kingdom of God in our church may not be like an oak tree. It may not be like a sequoia, tall and grand. Maybe it will be like this mustard shrub that grows low and wide and near to the ground. But you know what? That's where Jesus was. Jesus was close to the ground. He was close to the small. He was close to the overlooked. He was close to the sick and the marginalized. And we would do well to remember this. The kind of tree that Jesus compares himself, his kingdom to, is a mustard tree. The other thing that the mustard tree does, Jesus says, is that it grows and its branches become a place of nesting for the birds. And I mentioned this earlier, but the foliage from the mustard tree is thick, it's dense, it provides great shelter, great rest from the sun, great rest and shelter and protection from enemies. And I've invited some of our birds, some of the birds who make their nests in our building, and we're grateful for them, and I want you to introduce yourself to them and find out what they're doing, because they're doing wonderful, wonderful ministry. And we are blessed to have a place that we can provide. It's not something that we've done, but it's something that God has entrusted to us, and we will continue to minister by making that space available. Organizations like CASA, Hands of Hope, which is domestic advocacy, Music Garden, Indiana Autism Society, InSource, Meals on Wheels, the Presbyterian Preschool. There is great work being done in that building week in and week out. I encourage you, if you haven't, come over and take a look. Come over and meet some of our ministry partners. I invited them here to remind them and to encourage them that they are a valued part of this church's ministry, and to remind you and to remind that these are the women and men who we serve by making this space available. Together, we are like that mustard seed planted here at the corner of Hill and Miami individually, each of you is like that little bit of leaven. And you, when you leave this place, today you go back to your homes. You go back to the dough, to the ingredients of your neighborhoods, to the wheat, to the flour, to the water, to the baking powder, to the salt. But you make up the dough. You are what take dough that can be coarse and dense and unfulfilling and give it that yeast, make it rise, give it that light, fluffy, enjoyable, tasty, butter-covered loaf of bread. It's good. Anybody else hungry? I am. I'm looking down at these ribs and I'm wondering if anything that I'm saying is making any sense because I can't think about it. If ever there was an image for Wabash Presbyterian Church for such a time as this, it's the mustard seed, it's the leaven. Small in size, but great in power. So invest in things that grow. Don't invest in things that are stagnant. Don't invest in possessions that just rot and rust and decompose. Time is on your side. Consider the things that truly matter in God's kingdom. They are the treasures that we lay out for ourselves because there's great power in small things. Let's pray. Loving God, I pray that you would pour out your blessing on this mustard seed community. God, we are a part of a much greater work that is being done in Wabash. We are just one group who serves and loves your people, who serves and loves your kingdom. And Lord, I pray your blessing this morning on every other church that serves in Jesus' name, that proclaims hope and grace and release in Jesus' name. Lord, may each of us be like these mustard seeds. May you like this yeast that transforms the composition of our community. God, we know that you are capable. We know that it is in your power. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.